Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Have you ever known anybody who was headstrong and who acted rashly and seemed not to be able to be reasoned with regarding their decisions and their actions? Well, we've all known people like that, and we have all been people like that, I'm sure, at one time or another in our lives, and maybe some of us continue to be that way far more than we should. Well, that is actually the 16th characteristic of human sinfulness that's found in the list of 19 in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And we have been working our way through this list one at a time, and we come today to number 16. You recall that these are not all, but many of the manifestations of human depravity, the evidences of the fallen nature of every man and woman that is born into this world. And we are told in verse 1 that these will come in the last days. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so forth. I'm not going to go through the entire list, but perilous times or dangerous times, and as we studied that phrase last days, used as it is other places in the New Testament scriptures, we realize that that is a term that refers to the days from the first coming of Christ until the second coming of Christ. And that being so, these 19 characteristics of human sinfulness have certainly been present in every century. These are not necessarily evidences of the soon coming of Christ when we see a lot of this kind of behavior manifested in the world around us, because this is the characteristic of human behavior from the first coming of Christ onward. Those are the last days. However, I think it is very likely that these characteristics come in increasingly sinful waves until the Lord returns. There seems to be a wave of human depravity, and then the Holy Spirit will pull back on that a bit, or otherwise society would destroy itself. And then another wave of human depravity, and then the Holy Spirit restrains that a bit, and then another wave of human depravity, like waves coming in off the ocean, until finally the depravity becomes greater and greater and the Lord returns. I think it must be something like that. Well, at any rate, we would encourage you to join us as we get into characteristic number 16 on this Tuesday, March 29. Thanks for joining me for the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you so much, those of you who help financially maintain this program on this station. Well, working through this list, we come to verse 4 of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and the first item in verse 4 is traitors. We looked at that yesterday, and the second one is headstrong. Heady, says my old King James, but headstrong is probably a word that would be more readily understood. And interestingly, this Greek word is used only here and in Acts chapter 19. In Acts 19, you have the account of the riot of the Ephesian silversmiths that actually spilled over into a riot of the entire town of Ephesus. And it was the town clerk who stood up to quell the riot, to calm the people down, to call them back to order, reminding them that if they did not return to an orderly behavior, that some pretty serious repercussions could happen in regard to the relationship to the Roman Empire. And so he is appealing to them along these lines. And he says in verse 36, therefore, since these things cannot be denied, he tells them that their understanding of Diana, of the Ephesians, being an image which fell down from heaven, fell down from Zeus, he says, therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. And there's the same word. That word rashly, as it's translated in my Bible, is the same Greek word that here in 2 Timothy 3:4 is translated headstrong. You ought to be quiet and not do anything headstrong. Not act in such a headstrong fashion as you are now. Stop that. Stop this rash behavior, this headstrong behavior. It's a compound Greek word, which means basically to fall forward. It's the idea of getting ahead of yourself, letting your impulsive actions outrun your thoughts, your rational thinking process. And so it can be translated precipitous behavior, headstrong, reckless, rash, disposed toward recklessness, acting without careful thought. It describes those who are ready to precipitate matters by hasty speech or hasty actions rising from impulses without considering the consequences or weighing the principles that are involved. A headstrong pursuit of an evil end under the influence of passion. I think about a lynch mob. That would be a good example of this kind of behavior. Headstrong behavior. People who just get angry because of some injustice that's been done and grab somebody they think is the perpetrator and string them up on the nearest tree. As we know, that kind of vigilante justice has taken place many times in the history of our country and in many countries around the world. But that kind of mob action, of course, is often a miscarriage of justice. And once it's been done, there's no way to undo it, is there? If you string up the wrong person, if later, when cooler heads prevail, when the anger subsides, when the crowd disperses and somebody says, uh-oh, we got the wrong person, here's evidence that it was somebody else, and we say, whoops. Too late. That's one of the strong arguments against capital punishment. And I understand the argument. I'm not sure whether I'm ready to join the anti-death penalty bandwagon necessarily, but I do agree that oftentimes there is a miscarriage of justice and the wrong person is put to death, and that is irremediable. I'm stumbling over my words here, but there's no remedy for that. That is something which cannot be reversed. If you put the wrong person in jail, when you discover your mistake, you can let him out and oftentimes offer some kind of compensation to, at least partially, not no way to fully, but to partially compensate for the years spent behind bars. And the state will often do that. We read about that from time to time. Here's somebody, new DNA evidence proves that the wrong man was convicted, the wrong man was put in jail. Sorry that you've been incarcerated for the last 10 years for a crime which now the evidence makes clear you did not commit. Here's $25,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 from the state to help you get a new start in life. We wish you well. That kind of thing. No way that you can return 10 years of a man's life, but at least you can make some kind of arrangements and offer some kind of compensation when that mistake has been discovered. But what do you do if you put the wrong person to death? That leads us really down a new trail of thought, which I'm not trying to explore at this time, the whole question of the death penalty. I think the problem has to do primarily with defects in the American justice system, and those need to be corrected, don't they? Until they can be corrected, maybe we do need to put a moratorium on the death penalty. I don't know. I'm certainly not prepared to say that the death penalty ought to be abolished. Some crimes are so heinous that that is the only appropriate remedy. And as a Christian, it's clear to me that the Bible does not only allow the death penalty, but in the Old Testament, in the nation of Israel, required it for a number of offenses, far more than we generally apply it to today. But I'm not talking about official justice. I'm not talking about when the state acts in its capacity as the one given responsibility by God for law and order in society. I'm talking about when individuals act rashly, in a headstrong fashion, drive-by shootings, and all kinds of things that people do. Get mad at somebody, and they're going to get even. So they damage their property. So they get some kind of revenge. That's the kind of behavior we're talking about here. Rash behavior, headstrong behavior. Like the men of Sodom in the book of Genesis, trying to break down Lot's door to get to the men who were visiting them. And we see all kinds of examples of that today. All kinds of mob action that assaults churches. That happens in a lot of places around the world, occasionally in America, but mob action, assaulting churches, destroying church property because of religious differences, rash behavior. Young people often are headstrong and make foolish choices in regard to romance or in regard to school or career. Headstrong behavior. They make decisions hastily without careful thought. Or even just the idea of making rash statements. We've all heard the expression, shoot first and ask questions later. Well, that's exactly the kind of behavior that this word describes. Headstrong. And that's a manifestation of human depravity. A manifestation of headstrong behavior. Not godly behavior. Patient behavior. The Bible teaches God's people to be patient. To be kind. To be gentle. Not to turn our backs upon truth and righteousness and justice and confrontation and proper punishment and judgment when it's done in the right way, in the right context. All of those things are absolutely necessary, but to do it in the right spirit, in a gentle spirit, in a thoughtful way. Not doing it rashly, precipitously, hastily, in a headstrong way. That's the old nature spilling out. Acting according to passion rather than according to reason, rather than according to principle, rather than according to godliness, rather than according to the instructions of the Bible that are the guidebook for all of God's people. And wherever we see that kind of behavior breaking out among the people of God, it ought to be exposed. It ought to be confronted. Such people ought to be told, you're not acting like a Christian. You're manifesting the old man, Adam, not the new man, Christ Jesus. And may God help all of us in this regard. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.